Hello and welcome to the Break Room Superstore Fan Podcast. My name is Jordan Wiegand, and I have our co-hosts, Aylin Rowland.
Hello.
And Casey McGeorge.
Oh, how's it going, everybody?
Good to have you back. You know, I didn't get a chance to listen to the episode, but Casey had some technical difficulties for both WandaVision and for Superstore, but it sounds like DJ somehow tried to make it work with what just Aylin and I were saying, so that would be kind of interesting. I got to go back and listen to that, I guess.
See how that turned out. Yeah,
I'm sorry about last week, guys. It was it's a simple plug that caused the issue, but it's fixed now, and I know there might have been at least one person out there who was interested in hearing what I had to say, and unfortunately they missed out, so sorry about that.
Definitely more than one. Let's go ahead and talk about Season 6, Episode 9, Episode 107 overall, Conspiracy, directed by James Renfro and written by friend of the podcast, Colton Dunn, premiered February 11th, 2021 on NBC at 8:30. Casey, take us away with that synopsis.
All right. Glenn is confused by Zephyr's new store policies and enlists the help of Sandra and Marcus to figure out what's going on. A memory lapse causes Jonah to question his friendship with Garrett. Cheyenne and Mateo face an unexpected challenge with their ongoing beef. Your initial thoughts, guys?
I liked this one. I thought it was better than some of the previous episodes we've had this season. For me, the season's kind of been a roller coaster up and down at times. Mm-hmm. This one was good. Just a fun, standard, normal Superstore episode. It didn't really advance anything too crazy. Just a fun time, you know, with the Superstore gang, I guess. But hopefully, as we start getting to the episodes now that were written, you know, after the cancellation notice coming up here, or at least filmed after that, you know, maybe we'll start getting some more signs here of them wrapping up the story. So, you know, I have something to say about that later on if we get, you know, to the end of the show here. But Ayla, what were your thoughts on this one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am similar. I liked this episode. I thought it was fun. I liked most of the storylines. There were a couple that didn't, you know, work as much for me, but definitely liked Shateo's fake fighting, which we'll get into. And I thought it was pretty good. And hopefully, you know, the next coming episodes will have a little more to do with, you know, moving some more plot lines forward and that sort of thing. But I think this was pretty consistent with the last, I'd say, like two, maybe three now. They're all, you know, kind of on the same level as far as humor. So it was good.
For me, it was okay. There was like one, and I guess one and half of a third, so one and one sixth of a storyline that I liked. If that makes any sense. Or I'm sorry, whatever the math is, I'm sure someone will correct me. Half of a third is a sixth, but I'm not sure. The rest of it was just kind of meh. And we'll talk about this later. That's kind of been my whole thought on this season so far. I'm not as excited about the show as I used to be, or probably should be. But we will get to that later. So let's start with our favorite fighting couple here, Shateo. Oh, since people probably couldn't hear last week, my Mateo hate meter from last week was pretty high. I think I had it at like an 8.
Yes.
Rightfully so. He was just a pretty bad person last week. I think everybody can agree with that. And I'm still finding more and more people online every week who don't like Mateo. So I'm feeling more and more vindicated. Okay, so let me pause on Shateo real quick. I'm so happy Saeed got part of a storyline.
Yes.
And wasn't just totally relegated to a side character, even though he kind of was. And that was the half of a third of a storyline that I liked. I like seeing Saeed actually be really involved and kind of have his own storyline. I wish he would have more, or actually have like a full kind of like, you know, how we break these down into like, you know, 1, 2, and 3, A, B, and C full storylines. Right. For a show, I would like to see Saeed have one of his own. And unfortunately, with only a few episodes left, I don't think we will ever get that.
Yeah, he definitely had some zingers too. He probably once again had some of my favorite lines.
Yeah, it was good to have a storyline other than just the lines. You know, like he got a little bit of both this time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll say this, Saeed. I'm with you, man. I don't know if I believe in love anymore either.
Oh, yes. When he said that, I was like, oh, Saeed.
It got us right before Valentine's Day, too.
I know. A brutal episode for it.
Yeah.
It wasn't originally supposed to air this time, I don't think. But, brutal.
Just the perfect timing. True. Honestly. So let's talk about that portion real quick before we get to the other two. Obviously, his girlfriend broke up with him. He's not feeling himself. Doesn't feel like love matters anymore. What do we think about Justine trying to get her a piece of Saeed?
Apparently, everybody thinks he's a fox, right? Mateo and Cheyenne later say that Saeed was thirsting
over Saeed.
Yeah, when he wore his shorts or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, they actually, I think, called him sneaky, sexy as Saeed or something.
Yeah. Are we forgetting that last season, Dina brought up to Amy that Saeed is pretty hung?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And then, like, why does Dina know that?
I don't know. It's awesome that she knows that. That could have something to do with maybe why some people think he's sneaky sexy. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe the shorts outline it, you know, and maybe that's how they're able to tell.
There's that. Here's my thought, and I wish maybe we would have had more time to divulge on this. I think Saeed might actually take her up on the offer, but doesn't want everybody to know. I think after this, Saeed and Justine might be having some fun.
Well, they're not cousins, so I mean. Much better than her and Marcus.
We'll see if there's anything more for Saeed in that sense, but just great storyline for him.
So Cheyenne and Mateo, so have you guys been able to figure out, were they still actually beefing at the beginning of the episode?
Yeah, I think they were beefing all the way up till Saeed took away the attention there.
I thought they were, just for up until that point. Yeah. Do you think differently?
I wasn't really sure, honestly, once I was able to watch it. I only watched it once. So I wasn't totally sure. I wish these two would keep beefing for a little bit, like actually have some issues, especially with Cheyenne being the floor supervisor and actually being in charge could have made for a very interesting dynamic.
I think it was supposed to be, honestly. I think this would have been one of the first episodes back from their Christmas break. Mm-hmm. If they went through the original way. So maybe it was supposed to be like that whole time they were still beefing. I'm not very sure on how the timeline's working out here on which ones were supposed to air originally.
I know it does match up. There was snow in this episode. So it does matter. It's at least somewhat in the right timeline right now.
Yeah.
You know, not counting Glenn's 2-week quarantine that turned into like a 3-month quarantine or whatever. For us, not for Glenn and them. Yeah, obviously they start getting jealous because Saeed is taking their attention away, which two people like that definitely won't like. They took him out for ice cream, which was rather nice of the crew. To take Saeed out for ice cream. Once again, nobody does any actual work in the store because a bunch of people just took off from work to go take Saeed out for ice cream. So Cheyenne is stocking a shelf. Next thing you know, her and Mateo decide to go get ice cream. So they just stop working.
Mm-hmm.
And then they eventually they come back and decide to amp it up soap opera style.
Yes.
To get the attention back on that. So one thing I don't like is Cheyenne seems to be going back and forth between this ditzy kind of stupid persona and trying to be a responsible adult.
I mean, isn't that her kind of jam? Just, I mean, character-wise.
Well, I think part of the issue is it seems like we get some growth there when she gets right. this floor supervisor job and having those responsibilities, but then also times where she kind of slides back into it's not very consistent at times of, you know, like her, she hasn't had a lot of character growth, honestly, when we look at Cheyenne.
Throughout the whole series,
yeah.
honestly.
Yeah. So we are starting to get that, and then with this episode, kind of, you know, being kind of petty about Saeed taking your attention and fake mm-hmm. staging fights leads to, kind of a regression.
Well, it's kind of hard to, I will say, probably on one hand for, you know, the writers overall. I don't mean really Colton specifically to this episode, because this is just one episode, but Cheyenne's kind of like you probably on in some sense want to write that she is growing up at least a little but at the same time her kind of ditzy demeanor is what initially we met her as and know her as, and you don't want to completely get rid of it, because then I mean I don't want to say it takes away her comedy, but that's kind of part of her, you know, comedy in terms of her character. But anyway, I mean, it's kind of a hard balance, you know, but I get what you mean. But
I get that to an extent, but at the same time, she was a pregnant 17-year-old when the show first started. She's right. married now. Mm-hmm. Harmonica, which I still can't get over that name, is, you know, 4 or 5 years old, being right. left alone on a trampoline by herself for hours at a time.
She is also still married to Bo, though.
And that's my thing. Out of the two, one of them has to be somewhat responsible.
Well, do you think it's going to be Bo? No.
So that's my point. Like, if anybody has any sort of growth, it's got to be her. And to me, it just seems like for every step forward she takes, she ends up taking 2 steps back.
Yeah, but I mean, like, Bo's the one who kind of keeps her back.
Not really. It seems to be a lot on her and Mateo. It's not necessarily Bo.
I don't think Bo holds her back at all. I think they're just kind of perfect for each other, honestly. I think, you know, she likes to think she's, she likes to think that she's better than Bo, I think, in the case of, you know, Bo is, you know, way off with a lot of his stuff. He's not doesn't have a lot of work ethic and stuff, but and she kind of does, because she's held multiple jobs before, she's become floor supervisor, but just the person that she is at times is still very immature. And I get it, she's only like what, 21 now, right? Yeah. Isn't that what she's supposed to be?
Yeah, probably,
because she was supposed to have her 21st last year, and then that episode got canceled, so she's still very young.
I'm so sad about that.
Yeah, I really wish we could have seen her 21st birthday. That seemed like it could have been
the minute phenomenal. I heard about that, I was like, oh, that's going to be so good. And then they had to scrap it. Oh, that would have been a great episode.
So then they literally script out a fight.
Yes.
Not a very good one either. Like, that was something straight out of, like, Passions or something from the 90s.
I was actually surprised that Justine and them didn't figure it out. You know, they didn't seem very interested, honestly, but, like, they were, you know, until Glenn found the notepad, they seemed to have believed it was real.
I get they were hamming it up, but the acting of the actors, like, not the two actors,
but yeah.
the floor workers and the floor supervisor acting was just so cheesy and horrible, but so great at the same time.
Yeah, so what was the storyline here? That Mateo slept with Bo?
Yeah.
And his grandmother?
Well, no. Something about Cheyenne says, like, you were with Bo that weekend. I thought his grandma died. And he goes, no, she's alive and well.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Like they.
I don't know why I was thinking she slept with him too, but that would be kind of odd.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if you guys watch soap operas, and if you do, great. I really don't. The only thing missing from that fight would have been, if you guys remember, at least what they show in like TV shows, the old school organ, like after certain lines.
Oh yeah.
From like the music note. Yeah. Like what they used to have in like the 60s or 70s after like something. Like that's the only thing that was missing from that fight. That would have made it perfect, honestly. But
yeah, I just thought of like I always, when it's things like that, think of how funny it is for actors, as in Nicole and Nico, who are good actors, and then pretending to do a scene where they're bad actors. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to get out, but I couldn't get out a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, I always like it when they do things like that, because I'm sure they were just, you know, hamming it up soap opera style. And, you know, we're not knocking soap operas, but they certainly have their share of heightened, drama and all of that.
Yeah, there's been people that have made the jump from soap operas to regular TV. But, yeah, you know, that type of – well, one – the quality of soap operas, you know, a lot of times they're churning out. They have to do five episodes a week or whatever.
Yes.
And then you also just have, you know, the fact that sometimes they can't get the best actors anyway because they are.
Right.
You know, it's a huge time commitment, but also it's, you know, some people don't want to, you know, look down on them, so they don't want to be involved. So, yeah, you kind of get like a mix of quality for those.
I remember 20 years ago when I was in high school, God, so long ago, one of the girls in class watched them. And we were talking to her about it in class one day. And she's like, I only watch it 2 days a week. I watch it on Monday and I watch it on Friday. She's like, you know, Friday you have the cliffhanger. Monday you have the leftovers from the cliffhanger. She's like, I don't watch Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday because everybody's either sleeping with each other or just trying to kill each other. So it really, it's really useless to watch those days.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
And eventually, yeah, they're caught pretty much red-handed because Glenn, of all people.
And that was funny.
I kind of felt like Ted Danson's character in The Good Place, where the episode where he's like, Jason figured it out?
Yeah.
Jason? And he's just like, this one hurts. And he had to like reset everything. When Glenn figured it out, that's when I was just like, oh man, I'm done.
It would be true. Glenn didn't actually figure it out, right? Glenn, as we'll get to, thinks that Cloud9 and Zephra is making them say these things, and that they've taken over their minds. So he figured it out by accident. So in that case, we can't give him too much credit for that, but definitely funny, enough though, to throw everything off. Yeah.
It was funny, though, when he's mouthing the lines.
Why would you have that written down right on the table?
I don't know, because I haven't rewatched it again, but he picks it up right and then walks over to them.
It's like literally right behind Justine's table. Well, then
that's their fault for leaving it there. I mean, honestly.
Because they obviously didn't have rehearsal time, so they had to read their lines real quick before they went on stage.
It could be, yeah. It could be that they wrote it down in the break room, and then as people came in, they kind of like dropped it, and they're like, "Okay, it's go time." You know, everybody's here now, and then they stood up and started yelling, I guess, and left it behind. But not very smart of Mateo and Cheyenne.
Mm-hmm. But still wonderful, because then it led to, again, a great Saeed line. Because he said something about imitation beef.
Yeah, you guys are an impossible burger because you guys are imitation beef. So much. It was so good.
Oh, I laughed out loud at that, for sure.
I think we have an answer right now for a question for later.
an answer to a question?
Yeah, a question we'll have later, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure we have an answer to that question that we have every episode later already. But, yeah, half of this storyline just really didn't do it for me. Besides the Cheyenne and Mateo half. The only part I really did like was Saeed's heartbreak. Not because he was heartbroken, but just because we got more Saeed and we actually got a little focus on Saeed.
Mm-hmm. I agree, yeah. It was Saeed, best part of the Mateo-Cheyenne storyline, which is not great. But I did enjoy the storyline more than Casey. I think my hate meter for Mateo, if I was to have one, would be very low this episode, actually. He's kind of sidelined to this part of the episode. And while it's kind of petty trying to steal Saeed's, spotlight and such, he didn't annoy me as much as he usually does. So,
He annoys a little everybody. Annoying to everyone. It's just not always as high as yours, Casey.
And earlier in the show, Mateo could seriously probably have like two lines in case he would have been like, these two lines were bad. He annoyed me. But he hasn't gotten any better.
No. The only time that I think he's a little better is when he's with somebody and they kind of keep him in check. Like Eric or... maybe early on, Jeff, you know what I mean?
Well, Eric doesn't even really seem to keep him in check because last week...
Well, with it's debatable, Eric, I guess.
Well, no, I honestly, the only time he seems to be not so bad is when he's actually vulnerable. Right. Yeah, like, the few episodes I can remember.
Right.
One, Sandra's wedding. Obviously, his issues with ICE, where he was caught. Which he kind of caused himself, but that's a whole other topic. Because if he hadn't put that picture on the wall, they wouldn't have known who he was, and he might have been able to sneak out. And earlier in the seasons, where he had to let Jeff know that he was undocumented.
Right. Yeah.
Those, to me at least, are the only times he really hasn't been haterable because he's been really vulnerable and hasn't tried to be the best or hasn't been trying to one up anybody.
So it's like less than a handful of times.
So with a drum roll. If I had to give him on the hater meter, it probably wouldn't be that high. It'd probably be like a 3. Just because he wasn't really there, and this storyline just didn't mesh with me. So,
it's not bad. It's not bad.
All right, so let's move on to Jonah and Garrett next. So I'm gonna say what I told you guys a couple of days ago. I'm starting to dislike Jonah.
To be honest, when you said this, I was a little surprised that you haven't said this sooner. Only because, like last few episodes and, you know, what you've been saying. Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't felt this way sooner, Casey. Well,
so to me, the reason I say that is because he's kind of got like a Hugh Grant thing going right now where he's just kind of bumbling and stumbling. And, like, that's all he's really doing. And it's just a little frustrating. I don't know if it's necessarily the writing. I don't know if it's because he's lost without Amy.
It is.
I'm just not, like, I'm starting to really dislike his character because his character's not really serving a purpose, honestly.
I think Casey and I actually talked a little bit about this last night. I do think it is the writing. Not like that the writing is bad or anything. I don't want to say anything like that. But it's like they don't know what to do with Jonah now that Amy left. So all of his plot lines have kind of been like, oh, Ben Feldman's really good at playing the bumbling, idiot.
And he is.
Let's just put him in those spots. Because we have, right after Amy leaves, floor supervisor. We get this whole, election thing of floor supervisor, people bringing up stuff that looks bad for him, like the Hooters picture, him stumbling out of that the whole time. Mm-hmm. We get hair care products where he stumbles through some of that, the racial stuff. We get Biscuit where, you know, he's a little out of character asking for his money back. We get the trough where he's, you know, kind of stumbling through telling everybody he's fine, and then he eventually lets it all out. We get Ground Rules where he stumbles through a whole bunch there as well. It just seems like it's now like every plot line of his is kind of resorting to probably one that they're comfortable writing, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you get this far into a show, you just kind of say, what is it that Jonah's good at? Or, you know, what is it that the actor's good at? And we'll work mm-hmm. it into the show. And I don't know how Ben feels about it. Obviously, you know, he's on the show. We're probably not going to know how people feel about it till way after the show ends. But I'm assuming he would be kind of frustrated if this is his only plot line this season, and now it's turning out to be the last season. And I really would have thought he would become more of the lead once Amy left, the way that Amy was the lead. But we just haven't really seen that.
Yeah, I kind of thought that as well, because he is essentially the top of the thing now, with America being
Yeah, top billing, yeah.
Yeah, top billing, which early on, though, I think right before or as the season premiered, he did some press, you know, Zoom interview on something. I can't remember what it was, but, you know, they were asking about Jonah, his character, and not to get too off tangent, but, you know, what do you see him doing this season and going through, you know, with Amy leaving? And, you know, he had said, of course, something like, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, Jonah trying to find his way, and, you know, we'll get to hopefully see more of him and who he is without Amy, you know, there, and like other stuff he's been through. So, yeah, it just kind of makes me a little sad, because, of course, now, you know, the season is the last one, and they're probably, at least, you know, I'm guessing, not going to be able to maybe do anything that they might have actually wanted to do in that sense, you know, with limited episodes remaining now. But, I mean, I did like with this storyline, though, that it was he and Garrett. Because I always think that whenever I watch them together as characters, it's just also essentially the way Colton treats Ben. You know what I mean? Because if you ever see behind the scenes on Colton's Insta stories or something, he's always, you know, giving him a hard time. I love it.
So there's, I guess, a disagreement about an argument that Colt or Ben and or that Jonah and Garrett had at some point.
Yeah, it was a weird way to describe the synopsis here with the memory lapse. I thought something else happened. But the main gist of it is that he wanted to watch, I forget what movie it was, but the director's cut with Garrett and his friend. And he came in when they lived together and they were both already watching it. And he said, you know, it kind of came up somehow about that. I think they were talking about the movie and, you know, Jonah says like, you know, I remember you watching it because I specifically asked you not to until I got home. And kind of like we were talking about Casey last night as well with the, you know, if you had a spouse or a significant other where you can't watch an episode of the show without them. and Garrett doesn't remember this argument, so Jonah starts, you know, spiraling out of control here and even trying to text the friend 12 times to see if he remembers that argument. And that's the gist of what causes it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, and he says he doesn't. Do you think he actually does? And he's just, again, pulling Jonah's leg with saying he doesn't?
No, I don't think he does.
No?
Okay. I think, as with anything like that, there's actually two separate sides to it, and the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. So I think from Jonah's, I think if I took a step back and looked at this, something from Jonah's point of view is one way, something from Garrett's point of view is the other way, and the wires probably got crossed in somewhere in the middle about what really happened. Can I see Garrett not remembering Jonah being upset about not watching a movie? Yeah. Can I see that bothering Jonah quite a bit? Most definitely. But I'm also the kind of person who can hold on to a grudge forever. So, it, you know, I'm not saying I wouldn't be that upset either. He starts calling his friend to try and get him to remember.
Randy.
Is Randy the dude we talked about before, which I think people might have missed? Who Randy was? Randy the dude that Garrett had actually talked trash about behind his back, or is that someone else?
That's the same person, isn't it?
It sounds familiar. I think so. I haven't revisited that episode in a while.
His friend who they just mention all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think he's just the go-to name that they use. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Jonah texts him like 10 times in 2 minutes or something ridiculous like that?
Yeah, something like that.
What else do we get? We get Garrett being able to remember a dude who bought a cell phone holder for his Kia.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, he was a cool guy, though. That's why, I guess, right?
But the more he kept remembering, the more and more it just kept setting Jonah off. Like, are you serious? You can remember this, too? But you can't remember a pivotal point in our friendship?
That would totally be me, though. Oh, God. I could see. Because it just would drive you crazy. I mean, wouldn't it drive you a little crazy if you were the one remembering something, but then your either friend or, like, significant other was like, no, I don't, you know, at all.
No, I mean, I've had that with my wife where one of us doesn't remember the what the other person's talking about.
And, I mean, I do it too much also to my friend. I feel so bad, but... I said, that's what I have you for, to remember these things, because I don't. So, and then at the end of it, they kind of just leave it. I mean, Garrett doesn't really ever say anything about, yeah, I remember that, you know.
No, instead he might make up or bring up something that actually happened. We don't know, but, you know, we get... him saying that there was a time where he was all excited about making dinner and asked Jonah if he was going to have dinner. And he was like, yes. And he went all out, made this food. And then Jonah actually texted and said that he's going to have dinner with Amy. And, you know, it left Garrett feeling sad. And then Jonah felt bad. But then later on, when Garrett makes something up for the Glenn storyline that we'll get to, he says sometimes they just have to hear the right lie, and it makes Jonah think, did this actually happen or not?
Right. He's like, but you didn't lie to me, right? That was just...
Yeah, so what do you guys think? Do you think this was something that actually happened? Because I could see this happening where Jonah doesn't know that Garrett is actually this excited about making the dinner, and he's just like, well, I'm at Amy's house right now. I'm just going to have dinner with Amy. And... you know, not really think about it as that way. But I think also Garrett then throws that line at the end to almost make himself not vulnerable.
Yeah.
If it was real, you know, by saying, putting that doubt in Jonah's mind if it was real or not.
I think it was just that. I think it probably was a real thing. But then he says that to, once again, make him kind of question everything again.
I think it probably was legitimate, but I think the best thing about this portion was when he brought it up to Jonah. Jonah's like, "Why didn't you say anything?" And he said, "Well, I'm not going to say anything just to make my friend feel bad."
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I think that's a very legitimate thing. Like, just because, you know. Just because your friends hurt you, maybe letting him know, like, hey, I didn't think that was cool or whatever, that's one thing. But, you know, just doing it just to make your friends feel bad isn't cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that doesn't seem like something Garrett would do anyway, you know?
No, I could see him doing, making dinner or just...
No. I mean, wanting to go tell Jonah so he feels bad, bringing it up. Yeah. but it was pretty funny. It wasn't exactly a plot line that was like constantly, you know, jokes by any means, but like I said, I always enjoy Garrett giving Jonah a hard time.
All right. Anything else about this one? Or are we good to go on to Glenn?
Let's move on. Glenn and Dina and Sandra and Marcus.
Marcus. God.
So I definitely have some thoughts about some of the people in this one. So Glenn doesn't like the new policy that you can't say have a heavenly day anymore.
Yes.
And honestly, I think there's two reasons why probably not having to say that. One, as Jonah says, probably because not everybody believes in heaven. Two, it's a new company that owns the company that mm-hmm. you work for.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, they're going to start making their own changes and putting their own spin on things.
Right.
And Glenn's got to be able to roll with that, man. If he can't roll with that, then he's going to have to go. Mm-hmm. And then that's when we get the whole aspect of Sandra comes up and says there's something evil behind Zephra and just the wormhole that goes down.
Yeah, I think this for me is probably the weakest part of the episode.
Yeah, same.
I
actually like this one. This was the one full one I kind of liked to an extent. Just because seeing everyone's thought on conspiracies, I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, there was bits with the conspiracy and stuff, but Glenn, you know, always takes things over the top that it gets a little too much for me. You know, this was I can see why he'd be upset about this. All right, one, not so much on. I can see your points, Casey, of why they would want to change it. Like you said, new company coming in, also. Maybe the religious aspect, but heavenly now has a term that has nothing to do with heaven as well. Like it's where it came from, but people use that term even if it's if they're not, you know, very religious. So I'm pretty much an atheist at this point in my life. I mean, more like agnostic, I guess. I believe in something. I just don't know what's. I'm not set in my belief of what I believe in. And if somebody said this to me, I really don't care if, you know, because they're using it as the term heavenly, which just means like have a great day is how I read that. And I'm not taking it offense of, oh, this corporate business is telling me to go to heaven or, you know, or something like that. Same way that I'll use, you know, like people using curse words that have, you know, or saying like go to hell and stuff, you know, like that. It's. You know, that's taken on a whole other term other than the religious aspect as well. So for me, I could see why he'd be kind of, and for him, you know, he's been doing this for so long. It just kind of throws off his whole thing. And we kind of see him kind of malfunction as he's trying to figure out what to say to people. And it's a hard time for him. But like I said, for me, that somebody that's not super religious, I didn't even think of it as that aspect, actually, until Jonah mentioned it.
Yeah, I mean, heavenly, almost use it to describe anything. I mean, I say that about dessert when it's really good, you know what I mean? But I completely, once they said it, you know, of course, made sense for Glenn to have a meltdown about it. And like you said, it's almost more of a, he mentions it at the end too, you know, that the store isn't what it once kind of was
when
on.
They ran my family business out of town. Yeah.
Out of town, which I liked that reference because we heard that way, way back in, you know, like season two, an all nighter about that. So it makes sense for Glenn to be upset. I mean, it's also, I think just like you said, it's change more than anything else. He doesn't, you know, he's not one who's exactly big on changes.
And I'm somebody that doesn't like change either, wife will tell you. So, you know, if we go to like Target and they've changed stuff around, I get very upset.
Oh my God, me too.
I just know where everything was. Why are you moving this around?
Yeah.
Ah, so A, I can answer that. They do that, so you have to go through the store to buy more stuff. Casey. When I was at Walmart, we had to do mod changes on a regular basis. So it's story time with Fat Mac.
Well, tell them I'm not happy about it.
Well, and tell them it doesn't work on me either, because
me neither.
I don't go through and buy different things.
You may think it doesn't work, but when you have to go through, you actually, it the amount of time and effort and studies that these stores put into things like that
is obscene. Yes.
Well, what I'll say is the only spots I go to in these stores are the toy section, the electronics section, and the trading card section. So once I find where those are, that's the only place I go to, and I'll know where they are until they change it again, and I don't get anything else. So, and a lot of times I don't even buy stuff. I just walk in and want to look at stuff because I go to the same store a million times a week. So for me, yeah, not so great having stuff changed around.
So let's have story time with Fat Mac. So gather around, children. So the super center I worked at out here is pretty big. It was $100 million a year store. Before I was an assistant manager, I was right below one, but I was pretty much in charge of everybody who worked on the front end and customer service and all that. And there was an older gal who worked there, who worked in the same Walmart for over 30 years. I think she had a 35-year badge. So, I mean, she was between 35 and 40 years working for the company. She worked at the same store for that amount of time. So, to give some context, when you start working for the company, you get some sort of weird employee ID number that you carry with you wherever you go. And then, like, when, especially when you work the register and you go from store to store, you'll get a different, and like a four digit, a three or four digit number, sometimes a two digit number, but usually three or four for like you to be able to like clock in on the register and things like that. So at the time, my number was like 1735 or something like that. So that means I was the 1735th. Person to get an identification to use a register at that store. Hers was 13.
Oh, okay. I get it now. I thought maybe it was just a random number.
It's like that joke. It's like that joke with the social security numbers. Like, you're so old, your social security number is 1.
Yeah.
That you could be saying that there. You've worked here so long, your employee identification number is 1.
Oh, wow. Well,
she had worked there so long, she was one of the few people in the area who actually had a chance to meet Sam Walton when he was still alive.
Oh, wow.
And when he was still going around visiting people, visiting his stores before he passed away. Before I left, when I got my promotion and everything, it was maybe one of my last few days, or maybe it was during evaluation time, I can't remember, but I was having a conversation with her, and I had a lot of respect for her. She had a lot of respect for me. We had our differences, but it was nothing ever personal. And she asked me, she's like, well, you know, can you just give me a few things and some things you thought I did good and some things that you think I need to work on? And I was very honest with her. I told her, you know, you're very knowledgeable. You're great at your job. And she really loved working and dealing with customers. She was perfect for customer service. But I told her, I said, the one thing that you really, really need to work on is you need to learn to adapt with change. The company changes its policies and how it does things on a regular basis. And you can't just go with, well, that's not how we did it before. Right. Or, I don't like doing that. Like, you have to learn to adapt with that change. If you can't adapt, you're going to find yourself being passed by. Now, I mean, she was at the point where she could retire anyway. So, and I think actually she did, because she had some health issues a couple years later. You know, and I told her, I said, you know, especially technology changing, the way their policies, the way they're doing their policies are changing and evolving all the time. You need to learn to evolve with that. And she admitted that fault. She was like, you're right. It's difficult, just because she'd been working as a customer service representative, working at a customer service desk for 30 years. She was in the same store in two separate locations for 30 years. Right. So, you know, she acknowledged that. I think Glenn is the same way. Glenn brought up, you know, the store's not the same as when they ran my family business out of town. But that was, what, 20, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to, the one, you're not even, it's not even just that store anymore. It's actually owned by a bigger company. At some right. point after the merger, they're going to start putting their imprint. They're going to start putting their thumbprint. They're going to start making the changes that they want and what they see into the store. So something as simple as when I worked for Walmart, they would take a couple of smaller stores in like Florida or the Midwest, and they would use those to test things out. So first they would start at the home office in Arkansas, test some stuff there. Then they would move into a few smaller stores at these other locations just to see how well it worked. And if it worked very well there, then they would decide we're going nationwide with it. Sometimes it was a slow rollout, like we'll start at different regions. Sometimes it was like, hey, effective February 16th, this is what's going to happen. And you just have to deal with it. And some of these were just very drastic changes that maybe didn't work in bigger stores, but you had to find a way to work around with them. And I'll jump ahead a little bit. You know, when Glenn was on his juice bender there, about to get diabetes, and talked about quitting because he couldn't hack it anymore, I'll be honest, I thought, yeah, that probably needs to happen.
Yeah, I thought it was going to happen. Like, I mean, he was serious. I think
it should have happened.
And then, yeah.
The bad thing is we just had that storyline, though, right. really. So that's... I know.
Well, see, that adds to it. So, like, okay, he stepped down last year because he wanted to spend more time with his family, right? Mm-hmm. So then he was floor supervisor for a while. Amy leaves. Somehow he steps back up, but he can't deal with a lot of stress, right? So he can't deal with a lot of stress in his situation. And then he goes out for catching COVID-19. Then he comes back and he still can't be around stress because it's just not good for him. And then him and Dean are this crappy co-manager thing. The dude obviously can't handle the job anymore, right? Like, it's time for him to step aside. And this is, for any sports fans, like, this is a prime example of an athlete who's well past his prime who doesn't want to let it go. Who doesn't want to acknowledge that his best days are behind him. And everyone else and sports commentators and fans are saying, dude needs to retire. But the athlete, you know, it hurts him to come eventually come to that determination. I think at the end of the series, I can't say the end of the season, at the end of the series here, Glenn might actually be retiring.
Yeah. I mean, I could definitely see
that happening. Yeah, I think that'd be a good way to wrap that up.
Mm-hmm. For him, you know, his storyline specifically.
And I didn't like the fact that Dina went along with Garrett and Joan in that one.
I was surprised she did, man. You know, honestly.
No, like, I like that she did, actually, because it doesn't matter if he says Heavenly Day. It really doesn't. No, nobody's going to know.
For him,
if he says it or not.
No one else. It's not like
he's the only one saying it. There's not going to be really any issues unless if corporate comes in and visits, then he just needs to turn that off for an hour or put him away somewhere else. So they don't hear him say it.
Okay, so two things to that. One, you never know if that's a change they made because people didn't like it as it was. So that could be one of the reasons why they changed it. So someone else could complain. I thought this was going to be stopped. And then you have a store manager still doing it. Two, if somebody comes by, Glenn's not going to be able to turn it off. He almost short-circuited here when he had to stop for one day. So if someone from corporate does come by, the dude couldn't even change a name when he was talking to a dude who had a name tag on.
I know.
Right, but I'm saying that's where they just put him away from customers at that time. You know, you have him follow the corporate guy around or show him around. You don't have him handle
He's still going to have to be around customers at that point because unless they're just touring the warehouse, he's going to have to be on the floor. Like,
they'll just hide him in a broom closet and Dina can take over for a while. You know.
And I think it is a big deal. And this is going to sound stupid, but once you start saying, well, we're just going to let this rule go for Glenn, it's the slippery slope thing. What what's next? So now we can just start making up our own rules and what's going to apply to certain people. This is a case of him having to adapt. If that's the company policy, that they put out, he has to learn to deal with it. Glenn be damned. Like, that's horrible on Dina, which is not the only horrible thing she did this episode. But no, she should have stood her ground there and been like, no, there's no email. Like, this isn't about making Glenn feel better. This is about doing what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, I was just surprised that Dina went along with it when she finally caught on, you know, that Garrett was doing that. Because at first, you know, she's like, when did they send that email? Like, because she couldn't find it. And she finally...
This is a situation where Dina should have took the hard right over the easy wrong. What they did was the easy wrong there.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, sometimes, or a lot of the time, they treat Glenn with kid gloves. So, thankfully, it's just a show, but I totally get what you mean. In the real world, you have to learn to adapt.
We find out Marcus is deep in the conspiracy theory world.
Oh, so much.
5G, and of course, Marcus would be a flat earther.
Yeah, oh, that's right.
I don't know why that surprised me, but now that I think more about it, it shouldn't have. No. Because this is my weekly reminder to everyone that Marcus poops in the shower and stomps it down the drain. So why am I surprised that he believes the earth is flat?
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember, though, what was the thing he said about it, about why he thinks that, or where he read that? I can't remember now.
Whatever the website was, I tried to see if it was a real website, uh-huh. But it wasn't.
Oh,
it was some weird... thing.biz or whatever. So it was like something someone just made up on their own.
Okay.
Yeah, and people just believe that stuff now, so.
Well, that's because it's on the internet.
Of course.
It must be true.
They convinced Glenn that there's something evil behind Zephyr's corporate structure and Zephyr itself, which is, there's speculation on the subreddit, maybe they're hinting at that towards the end of the series now, because it's been brought up in a couple episodes, like back to back.
Okay, isn't it weird to have Amy there and be like, she's part of that corporate structure now with Cloud9 and Zephra, and all these episodes just keep talking about how bad they are. I just thought that was kind of weird. You think that...
I have to say... I agree.
We kind of thought maybe she was going to be able to make a difference there, or maybe they could even have just called Amy and had Amy talk to Glenn about how there's nothing, you know, weird going on, and that those are all the servers and stuff or whatever. But just kind of odd that there's continuing these plot lines of Zephra kind of being evil when now one of our own characters are there that we don't see. But
it makes no actual surprise to me, because it just reinforces my feelings of that Amy is working for them, and it makes absolutely no sense because of the potentially, you know, bad things they do or are doing. And I'm just like, okay, once again, talking about Zephra and their, like you said, Jordan, quote, evil ways, even though it's not evil, it just, once again, makes me think, oh, and yet Amy went to go work for them. Makes sense.
Because it was the best opportunity of her life. And I think any of us who had so the opportunity, she sold that would out. Do the same thing.
But anyway, that's for another time.
I think... Then it was the fact that they stopped taking physical coupons. They were only taking digital ones. He didn't like that. They had the whole talk about conspiracies in the break room, which that turned disastrous.
Oh, yes.
Just because anything where they have, which I guess, actually, they're not doing it in the break room anymore. It looks like they're doing it in the back by the dock or something.
It's in the warehouse, because they can't, it's for everybody it's to bigger. Be able to be spread out 6 feet apart.
Yeah, and I think that may have to do with the filming too. They have to give them space, so
right.
They move everything into the warehouse to be able to give them.
Does this mean we need to change our name to the warehouse, guys?
A little too late for that.
Just kidding.
they find out eventually somehow that there's a Zephyr only room in the store, which is actually nothing but just the server room. Like it's the stuff that connects their cameras and their registers and Glenn the robot and everything else to be able to, you know, go online. It's all it does. But of course, Marcus doesn't believe that, so he breaks in.
I have a question about this. Wouldn't that have already been there from Cloud9 to begin with?
More than likely, yeah.
Yeah, some of it, most of it. Oh.
Or maybe, it could be maybe they had a smaller room, but when Zephyr took over, eventually they might have had to get a bigger room.
Yeah.
Because, as we all know, the biggest thing from major corporations like that is they want the data.
Yeah.
They want to know, like, what people are buying. And they kind of talk about it in this one, where they see, like, people's break times in the app and you know, people getting targeted ads where they've talked about, people are freaking out with it, you know, people have brought up before where they're talking about certain things. And next thing you know, on their Facebook feed or in their Instagram feed and Twitter feeds, they're seeing ads for things they talked about, but they haven't searched. So people are getting real suspicious about that. So on and so forth. So that data that they can sell to other companies to get money for advertising is their biggest thing. So when Marcus goes and basically destroys the server room, I can't even imagine how much money that cost Cloud9.
Yeah, when he started doing that, I don't do that very often, but I audibly gasped because I guess I should have seen that coming, but for some reason I didn't.
Yeah. I mean, didn't he really only just unplug them, though? So,
well, he ripped stuff out. So yeah. Between ripping it out, it might damage the cable or the connector.
Or that robot. It might
damage the actual equipment, especially when you're ripping out a huge hunk at once.
Yeah.
I cringed during all that because I'm like, these people need to be fired.
Oh, yeah.
I cringed too, yeah.
That just reminded me of an interstitial scene, which honestly now I can't remember if it was from this week's episode or last week's, but the lady, somebody who steals something and puts it in her mask.
Oh, that was this week's.
That was great. I was like, that has probably totally happened somewhere.
Yeah, because nobody's going to try to grab your mask either because exactly. They're not going to try to get close to you, but
yeah,
another like place to put things, I guess.
Yeah.
Marcus is trying to, now all of a sudden when the Zephyr tech guy is there, he's trying to butter him up. And, oh, you know, I like how they give great deals to people. Like, nah, everything you know needs to go in that report, dude. Because as I've said to you guys before, these are all just horrible, horrible people.
Except for Brett and Saeed. Right.
For all I know, Brent might be the dude killing everybody and cutting feet off.
I mean, we'll probably never know that now. But all right, we just save Saeed at all costs.
So yeah, overall, like I said, it was an okay episode. I like the conspiracy portion. I like Saeed's portion, but that was really about it. The rest of it was just kind of meh. And I talked with Jordan about this last night, like, I'm finding myself not excited about the show anymore. I don't know if it's just how the season's going, if it's the writing, what they're doing with the characters, but...
I know what it is.
What's that?
You don't even realize it, but you miss Amy. Because she's not here this season.
That could have a little to do with it, and I talked
Because as much as there are people out there, and I know you're not one of these people, at least I don't think, but as much as I'm going to call some of you guys out, and it's totally fine, but there are people out there who like the show better without Amy and think it's just gotten funnier without her, because apparently she has never been funny on the show, but to each their own.
Those people need help. That's all I will say.
Yeah.
One thing I thought of was, I wonder what this season would have looked like had Amy actually been able to leave at the end of last season.
At the end of last season?
Like she was supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Had COVID not hit, or had it hit a couple weeks
later? You mean like the storyline? Yeah.
If if they were able to wrap up Amy's storyline at the end of last season like they initially wanted to.
Yeah.
And they were able to start this season fresh with Amy gone.
I don't think it looks that much different.
I think just the beginning would, you know, but really not much else. I mean, we don't know,
I think the main problem comes down to, and I was asking this question when he asked that question last night. I said, I wonder what it would have looked like if they announced season 6 and America wanted to leave and she decided to stay for the, and they made it the last season. I wonder how the final season looks with Amy here as the whole time. Cause I think it does look a little different.
Now in that case, I think it would definitely have looked very different because pretty teasing and dropping hints about them possibly getting engaged or something. But I'm not even going to go down that rabbit hole right now.
We should probably be wrapping this up, actually.
Yeah. Ratings, actually.
Yeah, the ratings are the lowest they've been. 0.4 in the demographic, 1.93 viewers in millions. Not very much to say about that. Our next episode is actually on the 25th of February, so a break next week. Mm-hmm. We have the episode is titled Depositions with Carol's lawyer at Cloud9 to depose the employees. Jonah tries to ease Glenn's nerves. Mateo enlists Sandra's help hiding the details of his work arrangement, while Dina grows concerned about Garrett's behavior at customer service. We also forgot to do Golden Vest, which I think we might all agree is Saeed.
He deserves it after having his heart broken, and he was just awesome this episode.
Saeed.
Friend of the podcast, Amir Karangi. There you go. Any thoughts real quick on depositions? I also have a fan email I just want to read before we head out as well.
So I do have a thought on depositions and a thought on something else real quick. Glenn being nervous about the lawyer, I can see some hilarity in that. Glenn's just going to Glenn. There's really nothing else to say about that. It took Dina 6 years to be concerned about Garrett's behavior at customer service.
I think that means he's going to be doing something else there, I guess, too, a little different.
The dude has put out their own personal information over the loudspeaker at customer service.
Well, yeah. Maybe he's spiraling because of the, thing that they're in. And it's the affecting him at work. Yeah, see, that's where my mind went. Yeah, thruple, that word. That's where my mind went. And Dean is going to be like, what's wrong with you? And he's going to say, and then it's just maybe going to come out. He's going to say,
he wants more.
I want just you to myself. I don't know.
The one that interests me is Mateo's situation with his work arrangement. So we haven't seen the optometrist in a while. But last we knew, technically on the books, he was working for the optometrist while being Amy's assistant and then Glenn's assistant. I'm assuming he gets paid under the table.
Yeah, I guess.
Because I don't think there's any way for him to legally have a job under those circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
They've done so much yet so little with this storyline about Mateo's immigration status, if that makes any sense. They've kind of painted themselves into a corner where either at some point he's going to have to be granted like clemency to be able to stay in the country, or they're going to have to deport him. Like,
yeah, that's definitely a storyline that I've been randomly thinking about this season, just knowing it's ending now, because what do you do with that in such limited time? But yeah,
and it kind of is what so long to deal with it.
Yeah. Because they've been doing other stuff, other stories.
But like, they just randomly bring it up like once a season or something now. And it's just,
I mean, those things can take a really long time, but yeah.
I get that. But it's just like, it's, I even brought up before, like, the fact that he was horrible to Amy and blamed Amy about the fact that it was the reason he got caught or whatever. And then you figure he would have, after he was in the detention center and didn't like it there, maybe that would have made a change on him. But he came back like even worse of a person than he was before.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I think they had a chance to do something major and big with the storyline. And outside of just the scene of him being led away by ICE, they really haven't. And it's just a little frustrating, I guess.
Yeah, we'll have to see what they can do, really. But
all right, so we have a letter.
Like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh yeah, we forgot to mention that Brooklyn Nine-Nine was canceled too, and actually, it's not going to air at all this season. Now they're pushing the 10 episodes to 2021-2022 season. So I guess it'll have a year off there. I do know Andy Samberg was from. That they weren't filming Brooklyn Nine-Nine for a while due to the high COVID numbers. And so I guess maybe, you know, they don't have enough episodes to even launch this year, which is why they're pushing it.
Yeah, I think that was the part of it I was surprised by, that it's not even going to get to air right now.
I can understand that. COVID has just wrecked a lot of industries. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, obviously, this is a portion of that. I think your lower performing shows that may have gotten a further chance because of the costs associated with it are being scrapped. Things that could have been started to be worked on are postponed. Maybe just being pushed aside.
Yeah.
The issue is that most shows are underperforming at this point. If you look ratings wise, most things you're going to see are pulling a 0.6, a 0.5, a 0.4 mm-hmm. in this day and age.
And, on real TV. Yeah.
On national, you know, over the air TV. And I think part of that problem, if it's not football, it's pretty much a 0.4, a 0.5, a 0.6. Part of that problem is, when it comes to like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which is probably a very expensive show with that cast on season 8, you know, these, like I said before numerous times, usually you have a 5 to 7 year deal originally locked in for these casts. And then when they had times to renegotiate, the price goes up, you know, and the more series leads you have, the price goes up. And as we've seen with Superstore, they keep adding series leads, you know, like series regulars, that were originally like background characters. Sometimes they
band together to get a raise altogether, like right, Friends did.
Like Friends did, or the Simpsons character, you know, the voice actors there. So these costs keep rising, and then if the ratings are going down or staying steady, it might be why they're seeing that they have to cut it cost, or with the COVID filming, they decided this is too expensive to keep going. I think they even said YouTube now has higher ad rates than some TV channels, you know what I'm saying? So like things have really changed where I'm not sure what the future of broadcast television looks like at this point. Even Mr. Mayor is at a 0.5 all the time, which,
and that's a new show. Yeah,
brand new show. So if that dips ever, it's going to dip to Superstore levels next year probably. And then do you cancel it then too, and or do you try to keep everyone that's consistent and keeps your viewers? Because some of your new shows, like what, Renard Connecting, that lasted like 2 weeks on NBC and launched with like a 0.1 rating. You never know if your new show is actually going to do good. And that's why you usually have a mix of old shows with the new shows to try to help those old shows launch the new shows. But at this point,
they're not going to have it.
If you're not a fan of the Chicago shows or Law and Order, I'd be worried if you're an NBC fan.
I am for Zoe's a little bit, because that is not a low, that can't possibly be a low costing show to film with all the musicals they do.
Not only that, but I think we saw during the Super Bowl, now Paramount has a streaming service launching.
They've had it. It's CBS All Access. They're just rebranding it to Paramount Plus for whatever reason.
Which I, as I was watching the commercial, I was like, aren't some of these shows on CBS? But anyway, I was like, okay, sure. I think this is kind of what I talked about before. This is an example of television not wanting to evolve. Many years ago, Blockbuster had the chance to purchase Netflix. They chose not to. Netflix eventually put them out of business. CNN, and or actually Sports Illustrated, had a chance to buy ESPN. They chose not to. We see where ESPN is now, especially after it's part of the Disney umbrella.
It's part of Disney?
It's part of ABC and Disney, yes.
ESPN, yeah, it's been that for a long time now, yeah.
Oh, well, I don't watch ESPN, but yeah.
You know, a lot of these things, they're not wanting to... Some of these things are still so ingrained, and this is how we've done things. We can pull, we can right the ship. They don't want to see the changes. People aren't going to like what I have to say, but I think when Vince McMahon launched his WWE network and showed that people were willing to pay $9.99 a month for a buffet of just about everything you have under the sun, that changed the game. Which eventually now is going to actually, because now earlier, was about a month ago, NBC Sports is shutting down. That's another, issue from COVID, because there were no sports for several months.
Right.
So some of their stuff is going to move to USA Network and these various other things. Vince McMahon has sold his WWE network to NBC for $1 billion. So at some point, it's actually going to be rolled into Peacock.
Yeah. Jinx.
So I'm actually going to, but I'm actually going to be, I have a membership to Peacock, so I'll be able to watch some stuff on there, which is great because I really didn't want to buy another streaming network, but I'll just kind of get it on my own and I can check out stuff there. But these networks have been so slow to realize the future is not necessarily in television. It's going to, like, nobody wants to pay $150 a month for a cable package when they watch three channels.
Well, that's the problem. They need to, they've made it so expensive that so many people just can't even afford to have, you know, that anymore comparison to what they watch. And yet, at the same time, to be honest, even though I have, like, Netflix and Hulu, do you know how, I mean, I go through Netflix especially, and I guess it's just me, but I mean, I go through that like crazy and I still find nothing to watch.
I think a lot of people are enjoying the fact with these streaming services, they can watch exactly what they want to watch when they want to watch it, instead of scrolling through, oh, this comes on at this time. And that will still happen with some of this
Well,
stuff.
And that's sure. I get that because it's just out of convenience and people have no patience anymore in this day and age. I hate to say it, but that's another rant for another time, I guess.
I'm going to make a bold prediction here. Within the next 10 to 15 years, broadcast television on a TV may be dead.
It may just be reruns and reality shows, to be honest. Ugh. That's probably the only thing that will get numbers is sports and reality shows.
I hate reality TV. How it's taken. Well,
when I say dead, I mean it may not even exist anymore. Everything may be streaming.
Netflix has taken over.
So,
you got
I'm
that
sorry.
Email.
Onto the viewer email there.
Yeah, so we got a listener here from the UK, another one. So thank you, Michelle, who writes in here. Hello from the UK. I recently binge-watched seasons 1 through 5 of Superstore when it was made available on Netflix UK in mid-January. And I became instantly obsessed. It was the workplace bunch of misfits are a family comedy that I desperately needed in our third national lockdown. With none of my friends watching this underrated show, I turned to you guys for the much needed commentary on the show. Aylin is my spirit sister and echoes everything I feel about the show. I'm also a fan of Zoe's.
Oh,
the
awesome.
One thing I learned from my binge watch is never to Google when season 6 will be released in the UK. You ultimately get spoilers and then have to find a way to watch California Part 2. And yes, it broke my heart.
I'm so sorry.
I listened to your podcast when I go for a run. And I wanted to say that I was so engrossed during your California Part 2 episode that it was the first time I managed to run a full 10K. So thank you. I'm sad Superstore is coming to an end after season 6, although I'm super invested in theorizing how it will end. If only the network knew it was going to be in the top 10 on Netflix UK for 3 weeks straight and still going. but I wanted to say thank you for giving me a way to hear other people talk about this brilliant show, especially as I rewatch all the episodes from the start again. Hope you are keeping well and safe. Thank you, Michelle. And congrats on that 10K run.
Yes.
I can't believe that we helped push you to get there, honestly. So it makes us feel really great. If people want to continue to send us emails, you can reach us at thebreakroomss@gmail.com, at TBRpod on Twitter, at TBRpodcast, sorry, on Twitter, Instagram at TBRpodcast, and Facebook.com/breakroomsuperstore. And we started in season 3, for people that don't know, if you've just kind of found us now. So halfway through season 3, around the Christmas episode, I think, was one of the first ones Casey and DJ and I had done before Aylin joined the show. So we have episodes going back that far. We did a rewatch of season 1 where we recapped everything, I think, and we started getting into season 2. So maybe we'll finish that out when the show ends and make sure there's an episode for every episode so people can kind of catch up and hear us as long as the show is found.
Yeah.
I really like the fact that our friends across the pond are finding the show, that they're finding our podcast from the show. I'm not going to do the horrible thing that a lot of Americans do and do a horrible British accent. I'm not going
to
embarrass
us like
that. Top of
the morning to you, matey.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I like the fact that they're able to find both the show and our show. I hope they're staying safe over there. I know when they say a lockdown, like, they are talking a serious lockdown. Like, you're not allowed to leave except for like an hour of exercise a day or something, and like to just go get to the store or something. That's it. I like the fact that we were able to help push you to do a 10K. That's not an easy feat. Be proud of that. Even if it's just you were mad at me and my thoughts on California Part 2 and Samosa there. Maybe you were running out of anger. Hey, whatever worked. Not sure. I would definitely like to hear more from our international friends as they're finding the show. And one thing I'll say is, even though the show itself is ending, we're not going anywhere. We're still trying to figure out what we're going to do post-Superstore. Whatever it is, we will definitely let you guys know. And we're going to try and keep it on the same feed so that people don't have to try and find us all over again. But yeah, we're still going to be around for a while. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I will just say, girl, we will cross our fingers and toes together that Zoe's gets renewed for season 3. So that's
its ratings are above and on par with Superstore. So, I mean, it could have a shot for, you know, trying to get the thing with also with Superstore and Brooklyn Nine-Nine is they've already reached the syndication number. So at this point, they can kind of just cut their losses.
Yeah.
If so, and say, well, we've made enough money on it. With Zoe's, they might want to try to get it to season 4, you know, in the next 2 years to get 88 episodes or, you know, actually they probably have to do more than that. Cause I think it's a short run.
It's a shorter season, but. Yep.
They might try to get it there. We'll see. I hope for your sake that that it's renewed.
Otherwise, I would be very lost.
Yeah, we'd have to find you something else for sure.
I will have to do what I don't want to do and go find another new show.
But yeah, that about wraps us up. So we will catch you all next time for depositions. Like we said, we have a week break here. So catch you all next time. Catch you later. Have a heavenly day.